This is interview number 3 with Baylen Mason, recorded in her home in Rosemead on February 17th, 1981.
Asking you, there were a couple of things that from last time that I wanted to clarify with you. You started at Lockheed in 42 and worked for a year. Day shift.
No, I started in 31. I started in 31 till the later part of 43 when I took sick.
But you started after Pearl Harbor, which was 41.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 42, right, 42. Then I worked up to 33.
And now when you had switched to graveyard, and it wasn't too clear to me when exactly your husband went into the Army. He went in 43?
Let's see, because I went in the hospital. 42, 43. In January of 1944.
Is when he went into the Army?
Yes.
And at that point, were you already separated? Or when he went in, that was the beginning of your separation?
Well, we were separated because after I came out of the hospital, my home was gone, he was gone, he had lost his job. He was working at the shipyard, and he always had deferment on account of the children. So, the way he behaved all the year that I was gone, let me see, the 43.
But you were separated for a while.
I was separated between 38 and 39.
Oh, I see.
38 and 39. Then we went back together again. And then we were together. And then I too, we were both working. Then I took sick in October of 1943. Catch cold. And I kept working. Christmas of 43, I was really sick. I caught, it turned into pneumonia. And in March of 44, I found out I had tuberculosis.
Oh, I see.
And then at that time I stopped menstruating for about 6 weeks. So the doctor advised that for me to enter the general hospital, he was going to recommend me to get in the hospital, see if they would give me an abortion. Because it was just 6 weeks. And my lungs were too bad at all. But I probably stayed there a couple of months and have the abortion done and I'd probably be all right. So I did. I entered the hospital in March of 1944. 44. I get mixed up with. And the doctor, they put me in bed. And they wouldn't do the abortion. They were very much against abortions at the general hospital. In fact, all over at that time. They found you had an abortion, they used to treat you like a dog, put you in a room there. And the ladies, there were some women that would do it, you know, privately. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that she was in jail for coming back.
For doing it?
For doing it.
Did you consider that, or by that time it was?
Well, to us, it was a sin to have an abortion, you know, in a kind of, our church and our religion. But, like I said, I was a radical, I guess. I said, no, I don't want so many children, because, maybe because my mother had so many children, I was among so many children, you know, but I'm going to find something to prevent it. So then this lady, she was an older lady, she told me about something that she said they always used in old time people, and it was this sponge, sanitary sponge. Now I read sometimes that it's coming back, that it's new. Well, it's not new because that's what helped me for having from Norma to Monica, it's about 8.5 years
mm-hmm.
in between.
And you were using the sponge.
And I was using the sponge. And every time I didn't use the sponge, here comes Monica. And then every time I use the other one, here comes the other one. So, but abortions, no, I never had no abortions. And I kind of didn't, you know, my belief. But I did try to prevent it. Then when I had my last one, I had a cesarean section.
Now when you asked the doctor, because the tuberculosis, about mm-hmm. an abortion, what mm-hmm. did they say exactly?
Well, the doctor said, you're only about 6 weeks pregnant. And I think I'd send you to the general hospital, that they'll meet you there and examine you, and tell them that to give you a washout because it's about all you need. If they think, see what they, I don't know what, he said, I don't know what they're going to diagnose. But that would be what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered the hospital, we took x-rays, and then I got the results. Says no, I didn't have infiltration, it wasn't too bad, I just started. I must have been around someone. So many years and I had it in the skin, I says, yeah. I took care of a lay patient. So you let yourself run down. If you wouldn't let yourself run down, it would probably let you, you had that cold, you had pneumonia, and you still kept on working until it really put you down. So maybe by the time you have your baby, you'll be all right. But if you don't want to have the baby, just have the baby, and we'll put it out for adoption. So when he said that, oh, I felt so terrible. I said, okay, I'll have the baby. So I stayed in the hospital the whole 9 months. They put me in bed without getting 9 months. So I left the hospital in the early part of January because I wanted to see the children so bad and I wanted to see what was going on. And I had an awful time when the baby was born. I had a cesarean section and they tied my tubes so I wouldn't have any more children.
Did you ask for that?
They asked me and they told me the whole why and the whole thing. So I says, okay. And I had never had any trouble. I went through my menopause. I didn't even know. It just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know how flushes or things like that. And now I have my tubes tied.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home. And then the way I found things, my children, and I didn't go back to my husband.
Was he home with the children while you were in the hospital?
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
No, he was staying with his brother.
Uh-huh.
And he had lost his job. Because he started drinking quite a bit after that. So I says, no. And then my dad says, well, do whatever you want to do, but you know, you have to be so careful. You can't even sweep for the next 8 months. So I said, no, well, I mean, it hurt, you know, it hurt so bad, but I overcome the problem.
Well, Balin, when you went into the hospital, mm-hmm. when you discovered you were pregnant, at that point, you and your husband were back together again then?
Yes, well, when I went in the hospital and everything, then we were together. But when I came out of the hospital, after I was there almost a year
mm-hmm.
at the general, then I decided that was it. I didn't want to be part of him anymore.
Now, where were your children while you were in the hospital?
With my mother.
With your mother.
With my parents. Yeah.
Let me ask, when you first started feeling badly and
mm-hmm.
quit,
mm-hmm.
Did you think this was something that was just temporary? What was your thought at that point before you discovered you had tuberculosis, what you would do when you did quit, when you were feeling sick?
I don't know, maybe because I took care of this patient with tuberculosis and I always had in back of my mind that maybe I would come down with tuberculosis
mm-hmm.
someday. But I was so busy involved working that I didn't take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I, that was my first cold that I ever had after I grew up. I never
what
had
did
a cold.
You think when you quit, that you would just quit for a little while and get better and then go back to work?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Doing what sort of work were you thinking about? Going back to Lockheed?
No, not back to Lockheed because that's where I took sick. And I well, and after the war, why, you had to travel clear down to Burbank,
mm-hmm.
so the planes were closed. It was on 7th and Santa Fe. I thought about that after you left.
Well, did you think that you would go back into upholstery work?
No.
No, when right around the time you quit, and then when you, before you took sick and were hospitalized, what was your thought about what you would do?
I went to electronics. Mm-hmm. In 1950, electronics was really, you know, the thing that was really coming up. So I went to electronics.
Well, let's back up a little. You came out of the hospital in 50.
No, at the Valley View.
Oh, that was all. But in 40.
In January of 45, mm-hmm. I came out of the hospital.
And then you came home and you separated from your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to live with your folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically took care of you and the kids were mm-hmm. getting mm-hmm. better. And mm-hmm. then what happened between 45 and 48 when you went to Olive View? Did you go back to work in that period?
No. Well, I applied for my divorce,
mm-hmm.
and I was home, and I thought I'd sell Avon for a while. That wasn't too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't supposed to do nothing for 8 months, but I did. And I said, well, if I sell Avon, that's a little bit too hard on me. Then I'll help my dad some way. And, because I didn't want no alimony. Imagine how independent I was. I was so hurt that I didn't even want alimony. So I started selling Avon.
How did you go about signing up to do that? Do you remember?
Yes, I called up the office, you know, mm-hmm. for they used to do the hiring of people mm-hmm. in the Avon company. And they gave me the job because I had an aunt working for that.
Oh, I see.
So she told me, she took me. And then we had meetings and it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go in the evening because, you know, everybody was home in the mm-hmm. evenings and women kept on working after the war. So I made it all right, and I got my divorce final, and my brother introduced me to my second husband. So we went together for a while, then he asked me, you know, did he thought he'd like to get married. He said, that way it won't be so hard on you, help you raise your children. You know,
what
children
was his background?
Well, he was in the produce business
mm-hmm.
in the LA market. And he was from New Orleans.
Because he had an Italian name.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So then I talked to my dad, because I wouldn't do anything without asking mm-hmm. my father. And my father says, well, it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But the only thing that I'm concerned is your health. I want you to get well, because your children need you. And they're growing up. They're going to need you more and more. And they're going to demand more from you. So think it well before you go into marriage again. So then Nick talked to my dad. You know, they had a talk. And finally I decided, well, Dad would help me. And at that time, see, the health department, I couldn't be around the children. I just couldn't be around the children. And since I had signed out to go home, instead of going to all of you, well, they were more strict with me. And at that time, well, they didn't used to get you put in the hospital and put a quarantine out mm-hmm. there. So every time they used to go look for me, see where I was, my parents used to tell them that I was living some other place, you know. But I used to go for my x-rays and everything. But the kids were there with my parents, and they used to take them to have for x-rays and checkups and all that. Thank God they're all strong and healthy.
So you and the children were living with your parents then?
Yes, And finally I said, well, I might have seen, the health department is always checking my parents' home and always after me and me. I might as well get married, which I did. But I didn't tell him that I was sick. See, he didn't know till I broke down again.
Oh.
And that's why I really hurt him, because if I had known you, that never worked. But I know I used to like to work. And by working,
this
I used to get some...
You were doing Avon?
Yes, uh-huh. And then after I got married, I felt a little stronger and a little stronger. Then I went to work for... I had a friend that was working for Solar's Electronic. And I worked there. I worked there 5 years, almost 5 years.
Before you went to Allegan?
No, at that time, I quit in order to go to Olive. That's not it. I went back to upholstery. Olive View was, solo was when I came out of Olive View.
So you were doing Avon.
Uh-huh.
And tell me how you would go about making the contacts for Avon. Was that right in the neighborhood?
Yeah, right there on 7th Street, all around. I was in the neighborhood, and I had friends that used to call. I used to make pretty good for that time.
What sort of money would you make doing that?
We used to get 20%, I think it was, at that time. If I'm not mistaken.
How did that compare to what you were making, say, when you quit Lockheed?
Well, that was a little better, because I think when I quit Lockheed, I was only getting 85 cents.
Mm-hmm.
See, in this, well, I was my own business. Mm-hmm. You know, the more I sell, the more money I earned. Then we used to get a bonus, and yeah, it was interesting. I enjoyed it.
Would you go out at excuse me. How many times a week would you go out?
Well, every other night, sometimes every night, it all depends. So I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't walk the street, especially right down there in L.A. No, that's where I did. For my life. That's how many years I lived in Mexico. And then when I married Nick, then I moved away.
Oh, where did you move when you got married then? So
you
married him in
47. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Washington and Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Washington and Hill. There was an apartment there.
Apartment.
Uh-huh. An apartment. And I lived there till I took sick and I went to Alville.
And so you married him and you went back to work in upholstery though.
Well, where they make car seats.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember that. Well, it was on the same line, upholstery. And that's where I was working when I took sick.
And what sort of work were you doing there?
Sewing.
Mm-hmm.
Sewing covers for automobile covers for seats, car seats.
How large a place was this?
It was a pretty large place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty nice people. I always work for nice people. I mean, I can't complain.
Mm-hmm. How much did you make there, do you remember?
I think it was 80 cents or 75, if I can recall. But it was another dollar.
Now, when we were talking off tape last time, you said that after you got out of the hospital, you couldn't take care of your baby because you couldn't be near her.
Mm-hmm.
And that you basically gave your daughter to your parents to raise them.
Well, Yolanda, yes, because she was born when I was at the general. She was born in November. And I couldn't have her at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I had plans to send them all to Mother Cabrini's school. They was right close to Hollywood, and they used to take children. It was a Catholic. Mothers that were sick or whatever happened, they would keep them there. That's what I had intended to do, because I know they would be safe there, and I didn't have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
If my parents would take them, it would be kind of hard for them. My mother raised 10, so I used to think all those things. So I talked to my father one day. I think he went to visit me, and I told my dad what I had intentions of doing. Oh, he said, "Never. Those children are going with me. And that little girl that you just had, there's no babies in the house. We haven't had babies for a long time. Monica is the only one. She's about 3 and a half. So no. So I said, okay, it's up to you now. So, yeah, when the hospital released the baby, my mother and my sister-in-law were there to take her with them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went home, she was already about 3 months.
I see.
Because I didn't see her right after birth. And then, I stayed with went home, I was there with my parents, and then after I got married, I was they were there too, and especially the baby. My dad and my mother grew so fond of her that there was not anything that they wouldn't do for her. And so afterwards, when I got married, that I would have the children, they were already teenagers, the older ones. When that's when I came out of all of you, that's when I could have them. After
now, when you first got married, though, they still stayed with your
with my parents.
With your parents.
Uh-huh, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me how you broke down again and went to Olive View.
Well, I started working I was right after, I sold Avon about, about 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work at this place, a friend of mine introduced me to this other job. And I was selling Avon at the same time. And there's one thing the doctor didn't want me to do. And exactly the way the doctor told me I was going to break down, exactly the same thing happened. So then I started, because I was funny. I never had colds. I never had cough. I never had a temperature. My tests were negative. I was a very strange case. So I started feeling real tired, and everybody said, gee, you look so tired, you better be careful. So I felt so bad that I finally went and took an x-ray. And they says, yeah, you're sick, they have to send you to the hospital, you can't be around, they tell you that you can't be around. Well, I was not bothered to be around. Even if it hurt me to be around my children, and it hurt so deep, but I said, I'd rather let them go then today, tomorrow they get sick, then I'm going to have it. No, I don't want that. And I prayed an awful lot. So then I had to tell my husband. Now, he took it nice, though. Mm-hmm. He took it real nice. He wasn't, that I had TB and I was a thing. No. But he had to go have an x-ray, and he was all right. And the only thing that he then forgot, why didn't I tell him so I could have never worked? He thought that I enjoy working. Well, he didn't want to interfere. And every time I worked, even when I was married, the money that I earned, it was for me to buy little things. I never had taken the responsibility of him, mm-hmm. because I was working. I had saved my money, we need something for the house, mm-hmm. but out of his money, everything has to be the same. Mm-hmm. So then I went to they told me that to check in the general hospital, and from there they would take me to all of you, or else if my relatives could take me to. So I decided, I wanted to go in the general hospital because I hated, to leave my children, I thought I'd die, which I did, I think half of me. But I made up my mind that I was going to give up. I had so much to live for. Mm-hmm. And I did. I went in the general hospital. They had a station wagon. And they took us in the station wagon to all of you. That was the longest ride and the sickest ride that I've ever had. So when I entered there, I was weighing 138 pounds. I didn't look sick. The doctor that admitted us says, well, where's the patient? I'm the patient. You are. Well, what's wrong with you? I don't know. So then I went in the bed, they put me in bed then and says, okay. I said to myself, well, I'll either walk or head first, or feet first.
And this was in 48 that you entered
Alameda? That was in November, right after Thanksgiving, because I wanted to stay home. I wanted to be out to Thanksgiving. Right after Thanksgiving in 1948.
Now, at that time, it was just about when streptomycin was coming in.
Yeah.
In 48. Did mm-hmm. you get streptomycin?
No, the way mine was, they couldn't give me streptomycin. The only thing they couldn't even give me pneumothorax. They did for a while, but it wasn't going to work. It was too way up high.
Oh, I see.
And it was that balloon cavity, they mm-hmm. call it.
Think. So what did they finally do then?
They just kept me for a while. They couldn't give me surgery because all my tests were negative. And you have to be negative before they give you mm-hmm. surgery. So all my tests were negative. Finally, they found two little bugs, and that was enough to give me surgery. So I had surgery in July of 1949. Mm-hmm. I had my first stage, they call them stages. And 2 weeks later, I had the second stage. And that was it. And then they brought me down from the hill because the hospital was way up there and I had to come down. I'm going to show you some pictures of all of you. And I was I was okay, I guess. And as each day went by, I was feeling better and better. Finally, I started getting the medical shingles. I was through, that was painful. But they did, they took me up to the hill, they inject my spine, something in my spine, and I was all right. And they took another x-ray. And do you know that balloon was starting to come up again? So they decide, and they had a conference and decided that they was going to give me a Lucide pack. Not very many had the Lucide pack.
And what is that?
It's a little plastic ball, just like a little ping pong ball, but it's clear plastic. And then in January of 1950, I had that done. They took me up again up in the hill in the hospital, and they put seven plastic bags in there, seven little plastic bags in there. And that was successful. That was good.
And these were to go in the pockets, in the balloon pockets? No,
no, just to reinforce my lung to keep them down, keep the whole thing. Now they're part of me because they can't even see them in the x-ray now.
Oh.
They're covered with my flesh. See, at first you could see them in the x-ray, a little ball, but now they're just part of me.
Oh, I see.
But, and then, that was in January of 1950, and all of the following x-rays were good, good, and good, and good. Finally, I came home August the 6th of 1950.
So you were there close to 2 years?
Close to 2 years.
What was your life like there?
Well, I think I'm speaking for mainly personal, you know. I think it's you have to help yourself and make things easy for you. Because if you don't, it's a long cure and a long process. And you have to do your part. The doctors do theirs, the nurses, I don't think if I had $1 million right now and I'd go in a hospital to have the same thing done, I don't think I would get that kind of treatment and doctors and nurses, the whole staff. It was just wonderful. The general hospital the same way. So I made up my mind that I was going to put God in front of me. God has always been my guide. You know, maybe that's why I have overcome. I had a very happy childhood. But since I married, I've had everything, name it, and I'm still here. But I think that they asked me, well, how come you're almost 70, you're hairy, not very, and you're not, you don't have too many wrinkles? I says, I don't know why, because I never have dyed my hair. I mean, my face, I wouldn't dare have nobody touch my face. But I tell you something, I think God is the one that has really, really, because the more problems I had, the more I was close to Him, and the more He helped me. So now, this is now, in my sunset years, I look back, and He's the one that I have to thank, and the doctors and the nurses that I've had, some real good doctors.
Were you, I remember some of the older wards at Olive View, some of the little buildings, with the porches, the screened-in porches. Were you out on the porch, or were you inside?
When you first go in, you go inside. After your tests and everything, and if a patient leaves, then they'll put you stand on the porch. And as soon as one of the girls left home, then they gave me the corner. And I was in that corner till I had my surgery. Because you could see outside. And in fact, that's where I saw the first snowfall flakes in November, before I had my Lucide pack, around December, November, I think it was. I can't recall. The first snow, I was there in the solarium, they call them, right in the corner. And then the girl next to me says, it's snowing, wake up. I was sound asleep. And we were getting ready for breakfast. And I opened my eyes and I seen these little flakes just Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, everybody was, we went outside.